St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Communicating the Future is a title of the book written by Thomas Fry. And in this book, Communicating with the Future, he has a section on lessons learned from the ancient world. What Fry points out is that during the time of the ancient Greek civilizations, there was an extraordinary growth in mathematics, and you had people like Archimedes and Pythagoras and Euclid and Ptolemy, who all brought new elements of thinking to society based on the field of math. And that concept of math was built upon the Babylonians and the Egyptians' understanding of math. What Fry goes on to say is that when the Roman Empire became the dominant force in that region of the world, that those advances in mathematics really came to a screeching halt. And he asks the question, what was it about the Romans that led to a diminishing production in mathematics? Fry's conclusion was the Romans used Roman numerals as numbers. That is, their letters were also their numbers. The reason that became a limiting factor for the Romans is because you cannot, with numbers that have no place values, work with those numbers in any ingenious way. If you don't believe that, simply try to do this math problem. Add the Roman numeral 4, which is IV, to the Roman numeral 11, which is X1, XI. You can't add it up in columns because it doesn't work. And so for Fry, it's that mindset limited by their understanding of numbers that kept them from growing in the way they understood themselves and understood math and their advances in mathematics. So part of what we are going to reflect upon today are those things that grab hold of the way that we think and limit the way that we see the world and what's happening around us. A couple weeks ago, we were having a wonderful family conversation at home. It was the three of us, my son and my wife and me. And in the conversation, at one point, my son leaned over to me and said, "Dad, you know the only reason that Mom married you was because she was desperate." Now, I like to think it was because of all the amazing qualities I brought to the relationship, but obviously it was because she was desperate. So take a look at that word desperate, which is rooted in the Latin for hopeless, not having any hope, not seeing any possibilities. A similar word to desperate is the word disparity, that there is a gap between one thing and another. And so desperation is created when you see something keeping you from getting from one thing to another. So what is the stumbling block that keeps people from getting what they want? I think it's that stumbling block that has become the problem in the way that we relate with one another. Because we live in a society that believes that most everything is disposable. So whatever the stumbling block might be, that stumbling block becomes disposable if it keeps us from getting what we want. So a couple weeks ago, we were hosting a party at our house, and we were in the process of cleaning the house because we don't need clean whenever company is on the way. And we went to run the vacuum cleaner, and all three vacuum cleaners that we have in our house stopped working at the same time. We had the one that I had before I was married. We had the one that my wife had before she was married. And we had the central vacuum cleaning system in our house. They all shut down at the same time. And then we went to clean the kitchen floor. And we have these one of the little steamer unit things that cleans the floor. We went to use it. It stopped working. So what did we do with those things that stopped working? We took them out of the trash and we disposed of them because they were keeping us from getting what we wanted. Yesterday, our Saturday morning routine, when we don't have to go anywhere or do anything, is to have a cup of coffee and a toasted bagel with cream cheese. So the coffee pot stops working yesterday morning. And then we go toast the bagels. The toaster didn't work. Guess where they ended up? In the garbage, because they were in the way of us getting what we wanted. So we dispose of those things that become stumbling blocks. It's so easy to take the next step that when people become stumbling blocks to what we want, we can dispose of them as well. So what happens if there's someone on Facebook that does something that bothers you? What do? You unfriend them. You dispose of that relationship. We dispose of friendships that don't give us what we want and let us down. We dispose of family members who, for one reason or another, let us down, bother us, trouble us, and we don't talk to them, we don't invite them to family gatherings anymore. We see that happen in marriages, that it can be disposable if it's not providing us what we want. It happens in jobs, that this job isn't giving me the satisfaction that I want, so I can dispose of that job. Or if I'm the employer and the employee is not providing me what I want, I can dispose of the employee. It happens in faith communities as well. Well, for whatever reason, people in a church aren't getting what they feel that they need. They easily dispose of all of their relationships in the faith community and go somewhere else. What happens when you add the possibility of violence to a culture that can easily dispose of relationships? You see a woman in the city of Lancaster dispose of her one-year-old child. You see another leave her baby to die after the baby was born. You see someone who runs someone down on the street of our city and then keeps on going. You see terrorists who are comfortable destroying those who are their hostages. That when we add violence to this understanding of that which is disposable, human life itself becomes disposable. Martin Luther King said, "We have flown the air like birds and we swim the seas like fish, but have yet to learn the simple act of walking the earth like brothers." In the opening of the Gospel of Mark, we hear about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And New Testament professor at Luther Seminary, I guess the seminary in Minnesota anyway, Matt Skinner raises for the Gospel of Mark the importance of the question of authority. And what Professor Skinner says is that Mark does not devote time and energy to giving a clear understanding of Jesus' nature, but instead Mark shows Jesus to be uniquely authorized to declare and institute, to bring about the reign of God in this world. And the characteristics of this reign of God, he says, is this intrusive nature of the reign of God that breaks down the boundaries of other ways to rule the world. It liberates people from powers that afflict them and that keep all creation from flourishing. It articulates God's intentions for the world and, if need be, defies some of the traditions in order to break them down. Skinner goes to conclude then that facing the forces that appear to be stubbornly outside of our control in this world, Mark challenges us to stop assuming that the way things are must be equal to the way things have to be. Challenges the notion that the way things are must be the way things have to be. The kingdom of God is a vision of the world where the world is set right. And Paul in 1 Corinthians picks up on two small words that capture our imagination in that new way of living, the small words of "as if." We now no longer live as people who are overwhelmed by the powers and principalities of the world, but we live as if the kingdom of God has already broken into this world. We live as if we have caught a glimpse of the world being set right. We live as if it is possible for human beings to find a way to live with one another in peace and to be reconciled with one another. And Paul then challenges all of these common notions that are related to this age. Marriage. We feel like we have to get married because we are desperate. Maybe we can get married because we want to get married. Or we live in this world as business owners who have to make a profit. Perhaps we can live as if there's a greater value, which is not only making a profit, but seeing that those who work for us can flourish in what they earn from our businesses. We live as if the reign of God has broken into this world. I'm going to test your math skills here, so stick with me on this one and do this problem with me, please. I want you to, first of all, think of a number between 2 and 9. Got that number in your head, okay? Now multiply your number by 9. Got the new number in your head? Okay. Now take that number you have, which will be 2 digits, and add the 2 digits together. Once you have those 2 digits added together, subtract 5. Now what you're going to do is, with the number you now have in your head, you're going to put a letter value to it. So A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, D equals 4, and E equals 5. Take the letter that you have and choose a country in Europe that starts with that same letter. So now you're going from math to geography, right? You now have that country in mind. Take the last letter of that country's name and choose an animal that starts with that letter. You still with me? Okay. Now, in the animal that you just named, take the last letter of that animal and pick a color that starts with that letter. How many of you are thinking of orange kangaroos? If you ever had any doubt that I know what you're thinking, you know it now. Pastor Tasha ended up at the earliest service with an indigo kiwi. I am not sure how that came into being, but an independent thinker, I guess. Notice how easy it is to get people to think in a certain way. How easy it is to have your thinking shaped by some other framework put out in front of you. When the kingdom of God breaks in, it challenges every one of those frameworks. And the framework that I want us to reflect upon today is the difference in the church between faithfulness and loyalty. And most of the time in the Christian community, loyalty has more power than faithfulness. We become loyal to a congregation. We become loyal to a congregation's reputation. We become loyal to a congregation's building. We become loyal to the congregation's history. We become loyal to the congregation's ministries. We become loyal to the people who have oversight to those ministries. And we dare challenge anyone who tries to think in a way that's not loyal to what we are loyal to. Remember my first year here at Trinity, I received a phone call from the parish I had served in Ohio for 11 years, and the person called me and said, the new pastor is changing something from what you did. And I just wanted to call and tell you that that concerned me because I love the way you do it, and I think that you did it the best way possible. Which, of course, was right. That feeds the ego. I felt good about the phone call, but what I realized was that person's loyalty to me was getting in the way of the growth of the ministry. And we do that in this congregation. The things to which you have become remarkably loyal may actually become a stumbling block to faithfulness. Because it's not about loyalty to a church or a ministry or a leader or a former leader. It's about faithfulness to Jesus Christ. It's about following Him, responding to His call, and being in the world the way that Christ is calling us to be in the world, which is announcing the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, which changes the way people see what's happening around them. Each and every day, every church in every imaginable corner of the globe is called upon to decide whether it will own itself and establish its own plan for being around for another year, or whether it will leap into the treacherous alternative universe where Jesus is still Lord. And the resurrection completely alters the roadmap of mission. Every single day, we make that choice. You are called to follow Jesus. And what I'm afraid happens too many times is when the church asks you to change, you become like Jonah and you run the other way. But as Holy Trinity Lutheran Church, that's live not as if Holy Trinity is the be-all and the end-all to Christianity in Lancaster County, but that's live as if Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all creation. Amen.